The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Live from Circa. It's Gil Alexander. Oh, yeah. Beautiful studio here at Circa. Look at that background. Look at this sports book. Unscripted with the Crack Man. We get tweets at Beating the Book. There are too many tweets to read this morning. I will try to get to as many as I can. Eddie Vegan Runner. Kelly looking for his car, putting an image of John Travolta in Pulp Fiction, desperately looking for his car here in the studio. Kelly parked at another casino at the D. Steven Vegas, nice new digs. Can we fit a 1970s DJ, 9 slots, a degenerate horse racing game, 16 chain smokers, crack man, and a homeless person inside the circus studio? Want to make sure you guys feel at home. Hank Saving, I begin to worry when I'm watching TV without commercials. Tell me that's part of the tech problems this morning. It is. Don't fret. The show will not stop itself. This is from Corbin. I think we have to start a petition to have the show at Circa from now on. You guys look like a couple of studs next to each other. The shirts look much better today, and this is how it ought to be from now on. Any feeling about Kennan today? I do lean Sophia Kennan in Guadalajara. Charlie D, USA number one. Circa is where ANG belongs. Brian M, talking about the Raiders at Chiefs on Christmas for Survivor. What kind of chaos would ensue if the G and Jimmy G stood for Grinch this year? Andy Reid would make a good Santa. Oh, man. If the Raiders take down the Chiefs on Christmas, that will most likely destroy a mess of remaining survivors. That's a long way down the road, but it's interesting to think about. Jason H11, hey, Gilly, bring the studio tour to New York. I know a great sushi place. And Brian M adds, we need Kelly to read the long shots promo coming back from break every time to make up for all the ones we're missing. On and on with these. I'll read more later. But there's tons of them. Yes, happy to be here at Circa this morning with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. Unscripted at Bill Krakman with the K. You do your Fox show, which is when?
Yep, on Sunday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. our time, Vegas time, 10 to 1 Eastern time. Started the podcast back this week. John Orlando and I, Wisecracks, started back this week. It was a real trial run here, so we didn't have a guest or anything, but we have a amazing Rolodex of guests to bring on. So
for those who are new to the show, we should probably do this every once in a while, because I shouldn't assume that everybody knows who you are. So Bill is obviously an iconic character with his Kangol hat on. LL Cool J and Bill Krakenberger making the Kangol the most famous thing. I think it's a toss up between you two. And you are a bettor who surrounds yourself with lots of sports analysts, and you bet sports. You're the guy who puts the money in. This has been a tremendous thing for you for years.
Oh, yeah.
But you have, like, recently now, I know you're kind enough to do this show with me for 6 years now. Yeah. I mean, I will never not appreciate what you've done here for me.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate you hearing my rants and having me on for all those years.
It's phenomenal. It's different from everything else. It's a departure from everything else we do on the network. It's great. It's honest. It's real. But you are, in addition to this, based on the Fox show, based on Wisecracks, you are segueing more into doing media. And I'm curious if, because that wasn't necessarily a comfortable thing for you at the beginning. Are you feeling comfortable about it now?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have to understand. The first sports betting show I ever heard of or ever knew about was 25 years ago when I came to Vegas. And it was Larry Grossman called You Can Bet On It. He had the only real gambling show with real insights of sports bettors. And Len Banker and I, the legendary Len Banker who passed, we used to do Fridays.
Yeah.
So I used to come out and do Fridays with him. I used to do about, I don't know, maybe 10 shows a year in Vegas with him. And Larry was great. It was a great time. He retired. Len passed. It's funny. Last week I was walking through a sports book and some guy came up to me and said, hey, Crack, I want to introduce myself. I'm Len Banker's grandson. I think he's a grandson. He shook his hand. You know, but yeah, so he knew about the shows, I guess, we did. Len was like I said, he was on TV here, old-fashioned guy that just talked the old stories with the old days. He was around the Bob Martins and the Jimmy Vaccaros in the beginning. So
but anyway. In those days, that must have just to have.
I did that.
Like, because Alan Boston talks about, was it the Stardust show where he would drive?
Yeah.
And he heard this, the Stardust show, which I guess Roxy was on too, right? And he speaks about how finally he had run into human beings that spoke his language.
Right.
And that this was such an unbelievable moment in his life.
Sure.
That he's like, oh, people are like me. In the same way that, anything inspires anyone who sees someone win a tennis tournament that looks like them, right? Like, oh my God, I can actually be a pro tennis player and win Grand Slams if this person that looks exactly like me is able to do it.
Right.
That was kind of our gambling equivalent, not mine, but in those days.
Yeah, when I first heard him on air, I remember I was dating my wife at the time, and I heard him on air, and I said, listen to this guy. He just speaks his mind. He's unfiltered. And that's not really acceptable even today because there's sponsors and you know, there's just, you know, we're in that kind of environment that you can't say certain things and you can't speak your mind freely, unfortunately. But I kind of think I do is the most to the most point.
Yes, you do.
I tell people how I feel about certain sports books and different things that happen. And I also I'm not going to say we also praise sports books that sometimes we're mad at.
Yes.
So I'll be mad at stations for something, but I'll tell you I like something too.
Yeah.
You know, like that goes on there. I like the you know, maybe the experience of the family and the going for out for, you know, you can a lot of different options and stuff. I'll talk about that stuff too.
Well, not only that, like a station's offer certain baseball markets in game that no other sports book in town.
How about they put the limits
does?
on the schedule on the daily sheets?
Yeah.
The limits on the bottom.
Yeah.
This is where you can bet. Who does that?
That we don't seize on that enough.
Yeah.
That they write down what the limits actually are.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask you this? What are the chances of gaming commissions like making that an edict?
No.
None.
Private property. Yeah, like when I called gaming over parlay cards that they only book one way, which still goes on. Anyone want to come out to Vegas, you want to get thrown out, just look me up. Add me to your DMs. I'll get you thrown out of a casino. If that's your goal, I'll get you backed off.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But think about that.
Any
that
weekend.
Would box them so into a corner that they'd never want to be boxed into. But how refreshing would that be? Oh, that's the limit. And by the way, no one would complain, right? Even if you were even if you're one of these too cool for school guys like, oh my God, you're only taking $200. No, but if you state it right in advance, you can't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what the rules are.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. It actually wouldn't be as big of a deal as you think it would be. I agree. You can just put it up there with a limit, and but that's not really the focus of things I would want gaming to look
that's
at.
About
I have
20.
10 other things
before
that I would like gaming to look at.
What would be number one?
Probably the you know, getting backed off when they change a line on you. Go to a counter.
Oh, that's the worst.
You go up to a Boyd Casino Coast and you go in and make a bet.
Just to name a name. Yeah.
No, I'm naming a name because this has happened to me there.
Yeah.
I won't even play. They win. I the white flag, I wave it because go in. All right, give me 1,100 plus 4.5. Tick, 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 tick. You're in the queue. It's 4. Oh, yeah. Someone bet it over at Sam's Town.
Okay. So that is the worst of the worst.
I hate it.
That's the worst of the worst because that is actually a gaming violation.
It happens in New Jersey, too. It's not just here.
Yeah.
It's happened to me in New Jersey right at the counter, too.
That happened to me at Cantor more than once.
Yeah.
At Cantor Gaming back in the day. Oh, by the way, it happened to me on a bet that ended up losing the number one pick in the NFL draft just this past year, a CJ Stroud bet at William Hill in the middle of the spin.
See, you were talking about the Ocean Casino. They're the worst for it. They run over in Italy. They're approving the bets in Italy. Go to the counter at Ocean, and what happens? You go give them a bet. That happens 25% of the time. Basically, what that means, you're doing the job for the bookmaker. They can hire an organ grinding monkey, just sit there with Dom Best and just say, okay, put that line there. You're doing the job of the bookmaker, and they could pay these guys 10, 12 bucks an hour.
That's a horrible. I mean, we could sit here for hours and list horrible ones. I'm going to tell you one that's just come up, and I forgive me because I won't have the precise details.
Sure.
Maybe Felica will remind me of the precise details on this. But if you've been around long enough and you've bet both regulated and non-regulated, if you have futures in your account, right? And by the way, it's always when they look really good and they're about to cash, right? Or look like they're very likely to cash. And then something goes on with the book itself and they're like, I'm sorry, we have to remove all of these things in your account.
That would be number one then.
It's 1A. You're right. It might be number one, but that's happened to a lot of people in a lot of different circumstances. And you're you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I do get a lot of people that tag me on Twitter with situations, and I actually go to bat for them.
Yeah.
I actually will contact the sports book nicely, get both sides of the story. A lot of times you only get the one side.
Listen, yeah. I have one I won't name any names, but I have one that came up recently from somebody who took the position. They were like, wait a minute, there's a bet in my account that I absolutely did not make.
Wow.
and it was like for it was like a big money line favorite for a lot of money. And of course, they never saw it before the event happened, and the event happened, and of course the big favorite lost, and here was this big ding in their account. And they were firm with it. They were like, by my history, I never bet favorites like this. There's no way I could have bet it. And of course they take it to the sports book, and the sports book's like, I'm sorry, it's in your account.
Yeah,
it stands, blah, blah, blah. But you know what he said in the end?
What?
He goes, 5 days later, I have a horrible confession to make. I forgot that I was betting millions of things that day, right? Like, this is a serious bettor who's betting tons of stuff. He was like, that I was using that to take myself off the position from another book. And so I forgot. It was a brain dead, like almost brain asleep bet that I made at that account. And when I stared at it in a vacuum, it didn't make any sense to me that I would ever make that bet, because in a vacuum, it wouldn't have made sense. But he realized he was mistaken. And so his question was, should I go admit to the book that I made this mistake? Oh, no, we told him don't.
Oh,
don't. Okay. Because then by making that bet, you'll appear to be the squarest of the square. So you should leave that in there.
Oh, well, we mess up. Listen, how many times have you guys at home, have you guys wherever you're at, Gil, yourself?
Yep.
How many times have you failed to hit confirm? Or you actually bet maybe the wrong side of something? I mean, I've done it. I haven't done it in years, thank God.
What do you think
of
your lifetime record in betting the song of the side you didn't intend?
Our human nature is only to remember the losses. So we're all like 0-28.
0-28.
Yeah, meanwhile, we're 14-14.
That's exactly right. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network, live from Circa.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Bill, can you scream splitting bets when I point at you? Splitting bets.
Splitting bets?
Yeah. Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
Okay, that works. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Yes, I'm just here to amuse myself. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Joe Abraham, any chance the show can just stay at Circa so us loyal viewers and listeners don't have to hear background music during the show? Did I read that one already?
Ooh, that's good.
Gamble Lord, I love a passive-aggressive Gil first thing in the morning. It's beautiful in here. It's permanent, right? This proves it can be done. I've begun to gather my things, says. Tomorrow I need to see Gil on the right side and Kelly on the left. Something about today's setup is off. Might just be a lack of spin doctors in the background audio and the aggressive flies we've grown accustomed to over the last couple weeks. I'm completely Ron Burgundy-ing through everything now. Let's see here. That's a Chainsmokers one again. Mike K. Gil, I like the technical issues. No same old promos, just a beat. Okay. Stringfellow Hawk. Oh, well, guess I'll just hum 80s rock and pop music to myself for the next couple hours. These are endless. Alfredo E. Lopez, pardon me. For your next on-site location, can you and Kelly broadcast from outside the sphere? You're feeling giddy, Gil, like a little boy for the first time in Disneyland inside Circa. You're absolutely right. And finally, Jesse Welch. Not finally, but I'll just stop here. Jesse Welch. Wow, it actually sounds as if you guys are doing an actual professional radio show again today. How weird that a real studio could do such a thing. I'm passive aggressive. My Alfredo, numbers game listeners are more passive aggressive.
Yeah, Alfredo also asked about breakfast here. He said, where do you like? Gilly, my boy. That's what he said.
Gilly, my boy.
Can you ask the Crackmeister? I guess that's me.
Yes.
Egg Works, Egg Slut, Monogabi, or IHOP?
Well, I've been
to Egg Slut. It's okay there.
Can I do a review of Egg Slut?
Please.
Egg Slut, by the way, we're not saying anything wrong.
That's the name of the place.
The name of the place at Cosmo. Very good.
Very expensive.
But very expensive. Not worth the ridiculous line you have to wait in.
Good point. There's always a line there.
Right. Really good,
yeah.
But not quite worth the line. Like, the line's ridiculous. Yeah. And I want to say, if it's not named that, people don't go so crazy for it.
Right, right, right. Now you mentioned some local places, and that's where I don't go to casinos. Very rare will I go to a casino for a breakfast or anything. But I've been to Egg Works, good. Been to, you know, you're at IHOP. Yeah, I guess that's okay. I have some spots, though. I really do. I have not Hash House of Go-Go, because I think that's kind of slop. There's a place called Mary's Hash House on Decatur. She's been on the Food Network. I go a couple times a week there.
Mary's Hash House.
Ooh. She makes her own hashes homemade. Ooh. Her makes her own jams homemade. Ridiculous. Very, very reasonable.
Her
too.
Own jams, really?
Her own jams are great. Like when she came over with like 12 of them, no, maybe more, 20 of them, she goes, "Oh, Bill, today I have jalapeno." I was like, no. She goes, "No, please try it." I said, "Oh, okay." It works. Jalapeno jelly.
Really?
It was so good that that's the one I get now. I get that or pineapple and strawberry. But the jalapeno works. Like she does this stuff that's unbelievable. So
you just went from jam to jelly. Is it jam jelly or jam, is it a marmalade?
You're right. It's a marmalade. No, you're right. It is. It is a jam because she calls them that. She sells them. Now, there's also another place right down the corner there that's been there since 1968. Lou's Diner. And the guy told me when he bought it off Lou said this was the last town, this is the last street, it was all desert out there.
Wow.
Yeah, from so they're on Decatur and like Sahara, and I go there. I also go to a local place on Durango. It's a far ways from me, but I really like it that much. Norman's Diner. Norman himself, he used to cook for Elvis. You know me, I'm an old school. I always go by with these things.
Norman used to cook for Elvis.
Got a whole thing, a story about Elvis on his menu, but he makes the greatest eggs Benedict in the world, and also his lemon regatta pancakes. Oh God.
Wow.
Anyway, so there's some places that I do go to.
You asked the right guy.
Yeah, you asked the right guy, Alfredo.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you to Numbers Guy for your text, but there's a text in here that Keno Walker, who's a good fan of the show, good guy. I've spoken to him before. Most bettors age 21 to 29 only care about winning the bet. Who cares about a 5-team parlay if it's -8 to 1? As long as it wins, as long as it hits, or you know, a 5-team tease or whatever you're saying, whatever, you know, +8 to 1. He's right. Right. 21 to 29. Thank you for saying that age, because about that in the past age-wise.
That is an interesting point, that he breaks it down to an age demographic.
Yes.
I would even suggest, and he might be very right about that age demographic, but my guys are not that age demographic, right. And they're the same way.
Well, even my guy in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
He's my age. He's 15 years old.
He don't care.
And he don't care. He just fires. And you know what? A lot of people will do that. They'll say, "Listen, man, I don't care what you're on. I pick my own stuff. I don't follow anyone else."
Well, so that's, there's a...
Good for them. Good for you.
I can't repeat this on air because it's off color, but there is there is someone who very colorfully points out the difference between winning a bet that you originated in your head, or by math or whatever, but that you originated, versus winning someone else's bet. And that there is a certain extra charge from winning it when you conceive the bet. So there's that also. But to his point, Ace Gianni, Vegas runner who used to be on the Megapod, he had a line. He goes, "Hey, Gil, there ain't no juice if it wins."
Yeah. Yeah.
And most people abide by that.
Yeah. I guess so. It's not the way I live.
If you do it seriously, it can't be the way you live, right? But most people don't do it seriously.
Most people don't. And I have to remember that. We have to remember that.
Yes.
I really do. I have to remember that people are doing this recreationally and having fun and stuff. But not... I'm not going to say so much the listeners of this network.
Well, no,
if you're listening to a sports betting network, your idea is to listen, is to get some good information, I would think.
Yes.
Well, you know, also.
Well, I think that the listeners of and I can only speak for this show. I think listeners of this show know that they're going to get a different perspective on things. And I don't think there's any doubt that we're not coming from a good place. But I also think you can err doing that too much, right? Like, I think if you're always trying to be so super smart by a penny, right? Like, I also think that that you alienate people that way too. Because that way you're completely unrelatable, right? If I'm just like, "Oh, you can't make that bet because mathematically it doesn't make sense." You know, because I'll give you an example. Remember how, like, okay, there's all kinds of bets in football. Now, this is maybe a bad example. But, you know, here's another cousin of what we're talking about. If a line exists at 6 all week long, let's make it even more pronounced. Let's say a line is 4.5 all week long, and then let's say it moves all the way to 6.5, and then somebody on Sunday morning goes, you know what, I'm going to lay the 6.5. Well, you and I are like, oh man, you could have had the 4.5 all week long. You know what? They don't care. They don't care.
It's unbelievable. It really is.
Am I wrong?
Yes. No, you're right. You're right. It's amazing when you hear someone giving out a line that you know was, like you're saying, 4.5, and now they're giving out plus 3.5 or 3. I see that a lot in media. I just seen it driving in today. I listened to it driving in today. I was like, wow.
Now that doesn't
that
mean
line was 7. They're talking about the Tampa Bay game versus the Eagles. That was 7. How can you give it out plus 5 now?
And again, that doesn't mean that we're not going to make that point that you shouldn't do that week after week after week. It doesn't mean that we're not going to still be the same people we are, but it is just there's always a little voice in my head with that kind of stuff where it's like macro points people love, you know, they love entertainment. They love when stuff is, you know, viewed at from a different standpoint. As long as you're giving them enough smart, then they realize, and but you give them enough smart, you also give them the grace of doing whatever it is they want to do. And I think that's the main point, to the point where it's like, you can't be arrogant. I always say sports betting is a reflection of the human condition. You know, there are things like medicine, science, that people argue about, right? That's one subject. Sports betting is obviously much more nebulous and vague than some scientific stuff. For us to have an arrogance about sports betting, it's like, okay, well, I believe this, and mathematically I believe this, but hey, if you want to do that, while I may not do that, okay. You have to have that kind of grace, I think.
Yes.
Because otherwise, you're just what? You're just so arrogant about something that's nebulous to begin with. It is mostly entertainment for folks.
People like to pat themselves on the back, too. I'm one that I'm open to learning from someone else. I'm open to learning from a Steve Fezzik.
Yes.
I listen to everything he says. Not that I bet everything, because I definitely don't.
Right.
But I definitely listen to everything he says.
I love Fezzik. Fezzik knows I love him. So what I'm about to say, I hope he knows that I still love him. Yes, that's true about him, right? And we can learn from Fezzik, but Fezzik can't stand it if you do it wrong, right? So he'll get on Twitter and he'll go crazy on people, right? I don't understand. And I will say to him, I go, Steve, why do you do it? He goes, I can't help it. Because he's got that DNA.
Listen, we didn't really talk for 5 years.
You so, and him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just like passing by in the casino. I was just being gracious. Hello and goodbye. One day I decided to tell him. It was over at the Oyster Bar at South Point.
Yeah.
I said, I just let him have it one day at the Oyster Bar. He's probably listening.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, Bill, you're probably right.
Yes.
I apologize. Well, I was wrong.
That's what I like about
him.
Because he can take the incoming critique and he actually takes it to heart. And he goes, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
He says the same to me about the Twitter stuff. He goes, you're probably right. I just can't help it.
He takes a lot of flack. Yeah. But he's okay.
Yeah. More Unscripted with the Crack Man on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5, get $200 instantly in bonus bets, throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code VEGAS. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. With code VEGAS, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, live from Circa. Act of God put us in the Circa studio this morning. By the way, Kelly's coming back after Bill bounces here after this segment. Kelly informs me that he has an exact date for Matt Brown's field goal. Matt Brown's field goal coming up. In the meantime, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate this. This is, let's see, 3Jack H3131. Hearing everyone on the Jags for Survivor this week, I'll pass and take Seattle along with butter on my popcorn while I watch the Texans cause carnage again. Hey, man, you might be right. You might be right. Again, game theory would suggest don't play the Jaguars because it does appear that they'll be the most played team. Jim Devitt, really miss the background soundtrack and the crappy audio. You guys sound great today. Raymond Edmond, all the chirping got you into Circa. Finally, message heard. Love the content. Can't wait for Beating the Book Megapod later today. act of God. I don't know if the chirping God is in here. Titans Insider. Gil, I miss seeing you with your headphones on. Okay. Jonathan Sears. Yo, Gil, one of my survivor pools has bye weeks. What would your strategy be on when to use the byes? Jonathan, I'll be honest with you. Without like actually analyzing it, because I've never been in a pool like that, I can't really give you a good salient answer. But that's pretty cool, having bye weeks available in your survivor pool. Alan Mitchell, Strider. Just remember, Jeter was not a unanimous Hall of Fame vote getter. Never give up. Still some Strider love out there. David Shalafour. Hey, guys, anyone else thinking one of Crackman's syndicates had something to do with the technical difficulties and thus studio move? Hashtag juicy. That's for juicy reels, or juice reels, rather. David Griffin. Do we need to start a change.org petition to convince the powers that be to make this move permanent? Yes, you do. And Doug Wedge. This is how ANG should be experienced. Proper lighting, sweet sounding mics, and no yacht rock in the background. Keep it like this. There you go. Although Yacht Rock's awesome.
But people you hear this though, and guess what? For every one person that says they don't like that background noise, there's another 20 that say that agree.
20.
So yeah maybe more, of course. So maybe
I could listen to
the seven figure guys that from DraftKings can hear
a little here. Michael McDonald and Ambrosia right now wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
Something off break.
Yes.
I don't even know why I say off break. Something during the break.
During break, yeah.
You mentioned, and I'm like, yes, please remember to talk about this, which is.
Which one? I don't even know.
I'll tell you which one.
Okay.
So, I'm doing guessing lines on Monday. We all watch football on Sunday. And obviously the Rams were down 2 scores. They were down 10 points. The spread was 7.5 against the Niners. And, they got a score twice. And we talked about this on guessing lines on Monday where Sean McVay completely botches it. And then very strangely, they kick a field goal at the end and they end up losing by 7 at the buzzer. And come to find out that everybody, right, is going crazy about this.
Crazy.
And they're saying it's one of two things, right? One, which is the big one, he had to know the spread. He absolutely knew the spread. This is so obvious. Oh my God, I can't believe it went down. TikTok, Instagram, no matter where you go, it's on there. The second reason is even more mishugana, which is, it's for tiebreaker purposes. It's like down the tiebreaker list, right. 10, not even 10, but like 7 or 8 down the list. 7, I believe it is. My reaction to it was, I have a third option. And the third option is he just botched it. Like, not everything in life is a conspiracy.
Right.
He just messed it up.
Right.
They didn't get far enough for the touchdown. The clock went further down than they wanted to. And he knew he wanted to kick a field goal and then go for a touchdown. And so he just went through with the field goal thing anyway. He wasn't aware of the spread. You're on my side of this, I believe.
Listen, I it's probably the number one thing of 2023 that I've had more texts from people, media outlets. I had someone from the New York Post and someone from the Washington Post. Both Mondays had to come. They talk to me about this, and I gave them the very simple answer because I'm reading what the press conference said, and I'm reading other things, and then you have to think some common sense into it too.
Yes.
Listen, do I think it was kind of weird? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I think it was weird.
Sure.
It was for sure.
Stupid.
Now, he has to realize it takes more. There was 3 seconds or four? Three. Was it 3 on the clock?
Enough just for the field goal.
That's what I'm saying. He has to realize that. Does he really think there's going to be maybe a chance? Maybe he thought there's a chance there's 1 second left when after he kicked the field goal. Maybe. I don't know. But I read what he said. He said that, he just thought it was going to be more time left. He sent his guys out there and that was it. Like, it wasn't. He said he did not even know what the spread was. But someone on his team, one of the executives said, Vegas isn't going to like this. I read the whole article. So now I read all of a sudden now Chris Mad Dog Russo, who I like, by the way. Now all of a sudden he's a sports bettor. He said, I lost 10 grand on that field goal.
He did. He's livid. 10 grand. He's betting 10 grand. Grand a game.
Yeah, I wonder if his wife knows that. Chris, I'll see you in the last week of November. We'll talk about this
article. Here's the thing, though. 10 grand for him, it's all relative. He can afford it.
Oh, no, he makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
No, he's set for life, Chris. Yeah, I mean, but so now he talks about now. My other thing with Chris, what do you mean you laid 7.5? You got to shop lines, Mr. Russo. There was sevens everywhere for 24 hours.
That's the first thing you went to?
How do you? Yeah. The Niners, I laid 7.5. He said, boy, I tell you.
But
the last thing with him,
please.
He says that he swears. I think he's real serious in this article. You guys can read about this. He swears that Stephen A., who was friends with McVay, conspired against him. Like, he asked a joke, or you would think it would be a joke, but it's really not. Oh, if I read the article, God, he said, "Oh, McVay told me, like, you know." So anyway,
stop
I don't know.
It. Stop. Here's my thing. Again, I did the whole we're too close to the sun thing. People love a conspiracy. We're all betting games. So we all think that everybody's locked into this thing. Right. And I know as I'm saying this, there's still going to be a huge percentage of our audience that are listening to me right now. They're like, oh, Gil, don't be so naive. Of course he knew the spread. What are you talking about?
No, he might have too. I'm not saying he doesn't.
But here's the thing. The same people. Right. When we do guessing lines is a great example on Monday morning. So a huge percentage of guessing lines on Monday morning is us just destroying stupid coaching decisions, right? And everybody's on board. We're like, oh my God, I can't believe this coach did this. Oh my God, I can't believe this coach did this. How stupid is that coach for doing that? Why are they lining up in shotgun on fourth and goal at the one? Like all these different things that we talk about. And yet those same people who are all on board for that are like, oh, that coach obviously knew the spread. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was, you know, it's like, this isn't my man at Penn State, Franklin, James Franklin, who clearly knows the point spread and has shown that week after week, year after year. That's not that. This is a pro coach who is so locked into
making
his
millions a year, by the way.
Yeah, making millions a year. It's so locked into his X's and O's for the same people who love bashing on coaches Monday morning or right after games on Sunday to then immediately toggle to he clearly knew the point spread. I just don't buy it.
I've gotten even texts from guys that are, I consider friends, and like, and they're on the opposite side of me than this. They're, you know, the fix, F-I-X.
Fix, oh, the fix.
Come on, man.
It's all
fixed.
Fix.
Fix? Really? A fix in the NFL? You know, maybe we can have...
I'll tell you what Wishnev really believes, though. Wishnev, who's a smart guy, right? He really believes in the keep the viewers angle and stuff. So not this. He doesn't believe in what we're talking about. He's probably on board with us on this. But he believes in like any game that's a big margin. Now, obviously, there are games that end up blowouts, and there's a bit of confirmation bias in there. But whenever there's something that happens late in the game that keeps a game close, he's always like, I don't know. They got to keep the viewer somehow. Like he does throw that out as well.
Yeah, well, I said week two, there'd be more scoring. I put videos out on it and stuff. And, you know, maybe that means more flags thrown. Maybe that means more penalties, you know, defensive penalties and stuff. So if, you know, you want to keep the viewers pretty happy, but, you know, I'm not trying to say the first week they missed it, but then again, the first week the angle of that was really the fourth game of preseason. The starters needed the game under their belt. That did rebound. Now I noticed right away Sunday. I was watching Sunday when the lines were coming up. I was like, wow, look at these points on these games. Now they went back to being normal in the mid 40s and stuff. We had five games that were 40 and a half or lower last week. I mean, something like that. So,
do you think that continues? Do you think that's a trend that continues?
I think now week three we're good. Now it becomes you know, harder and harder to you know, I played a game Chicago Kansas City. I played under 49 and a half. I got it at South Point or something. Yeah, and then it went down to 47 at a couple books. Now much down on as I can on like proposition bets, maybe some totals, some correlated stuff. But unless you overbet, you really shouldn't be trying the middle unless you know which way the lines are and you're the amazing Kreskin. Then get a hold of us. We'll make a lot of money together.
Kreskin reference cashes. Thank you, Billy. Appreciate it. Love you, man.
All right.
Kelly joins us. Paul Carr with Premier League Picks next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN shows are clashing. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. At stake is a $1,000 voucher at Circus Sportsbooks to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. To sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 10% when you sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription and use promo code ANG. That's a numbers game, ANG. Bragging rights and a juicy futures ticket is on the line. It's time to start betting smarter and help us do the same. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. To sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription, save 10% with promo code ANG. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander live at Circa. Oh, yes. Technical snafu over at the D puts us at Circa today. Kelly's back. Hey, where'd you go? You back?
Yeah, I was just chilling in the back, saying hi to some friends, you know. Okay. We got like the whole crew here today. I mean, people we haven't seen in forever. We got an all-star cast behind the glass.
By the
can't
way,
even see him. I can just see Rob Moreno's beautiful
by
face.
By the way, thank you to everybody behind the glass. I sit here, I act like there's nobody there. I should thank every one of them because they're the ones who catch the brunt of all the technical difficulties. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting here, I'm sitting here joking around about it like I messed up the whole tech thing. Maybe I did, everybody. You have no idea. And so I just want to thank all of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know it was a rough morning getting started with all the money. And yes, if you're wondering why if there's nothing going out during commercial breaks, we're aware. That has been part of the problem this morning.
We get tweets. And honestly, Kelly, this morning there is not enough time to read all these. Scott Weston. Hey, sushi snob. I think that's me.
Winner. That's a winning tweet already. I don't even care how the rest of it was.
Hey, sushi snob. I got an idea. You could run during the breaks instead of a clock. How about a commercial for a golf pod called Short Locks? Also, I love the guy at the bar with Tourette's yelling, splitting bets, and Chrissy the Fly. Love the show. Called the Fly Chrissy. That's true.
The guy at the bar.
Mike Rouse. Disappointed you aren't at the D today. I'm sure we would be hearing September by Earth, Wind, and Fire at full blast. Oh, because it's the 21st night of September. Tonight. See what he did?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Did you say you didn't know what Yacht Rock was?
I?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, are you kidding me?
I thought I heard you say you didn't.
No, I love Yacht Rock. Yeah.
I sent you a text. Is it a text I sent?
I didn't see
Bob Seger night moves.
That's not Yacht Rock.
Equal Yacht Rock. Oh, yeah. You put it on a Yacht Rock channel these days? Bro, that's plain.
Yacht Rock is like Michael McDonald, Robbie Dupree,
sure.
And Ambrosia.
Sure. They clip all of them together.
You telling me what Yacht Rock is? Come on, man. The numbers guys. Yes, the segment I look forward to the most week on script. He loves that one. Scheming A. Smith. Oh, here's one, Kelly. We chime in on Scheming A. Smith. He goes, if I go to a casino every day to place bets, how often should I be tipping? Only on big hits? Every day? Every once in a while? I feel like the workers look at me a type of way when I don't tip in decent payouts, but I don't feel like I should be tipping every day. I don't think you should be tipping every day either, but
question.
I'm in the minority.
I think it totally depends on how much you're betting, how often you go to that establishment. Well, there's a lot of
he's
factors.
Saying he frequents it. If you frequent it, I think you, yes, every,
what's that word?
Frequents it.
Frequents it. Not frequents it.
He's there frequenting.
Okay.
You say frequents it?
Yeah, frequent. It's a frequent.
You say frequenting? You say,
I frequent that spot.
You frequent that spot? You don't frequent it?
I don't frequent it. No.
Man, you are something else.
I can't wait till Paul Carr comes on here and backs me up.
Oh, he's totally going to back me up. You don't frequent a spot, you frequent it.
You know.
Chris Heath, does Pinnacle still only charge 7 cents for the half point off three? I don't know if they do precisely, to be honest with you. Pat Taylor, crack is so entertaining, I need him to write a book with all the stories. Nevad Azer, -125 pit at DraftKings, moving to +3. And Steven Vegas, the barely functioning Caesars app in Vegas, offers an NFL 8 team 6-point teaser for 10-1. We were talking about that. Terrible odds, but available. Anyway, there are so many of these. I can't get to all of them. We want to talk to Paul Carr. We'll get a ruling on the whole frequent thing. And he'll give us some premier picks. Paul Carr from Topeka, Kansas, at Paul Carr, the host of the Expected Value podcast. And of course, works at True Media Network. Say it, Paul.
I am happy to frequent your show. I'm with Kelly on this one.
The frequent.
You're the
show.
First person I've ever heard in my life say it that way. Frequent.
Yeah. When you say it as a verb, you know, I'm frequenting it. Really? You're frequenting it?
Yeah. Frequenting it.
What? And how did I say it?
It was a heavier emphasis on quenting.
I frequent your spot. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm weird. I don't know. I have no idea what you guys are talking about that you say it that way. I think you're lying. I think you're both liars, but okay. That's fine. sorry. Maybe not. Maybe not lying.
Conspiracy.
Total conspiracy. All right, Paul. Premier League coming off some Champions League games, by the way. You have a three-pack of picks on the Premier League. What do you got?
I do. We're going to start Saturday. Crystal Palace, Fulham. These teams are 9th and 10th in the standings with 7 points each. But the underlying numbers have Palace, you know, right around there, maybe a little bit worse, middle of the table. Their expected goal difference is at -1. Fulham is dead last in expected goal difference at -8. I don't think they're quite that bad. And they have played City and Arsenal. They're down a man for half an hour against Brentford. But Fulham has not figured out how to create scoring opportunities. They're in the bottom four in shots and expected goals. Palace is middle of the table. Eze and Edouard have been good for Palace up top. I think they've looked like a solid middle of the table team, and Fulham looks like relegation battle zone all year. So I take Palace to win at home, -105.
Crystal Palace, -105. Always shop around for the prices. That is Saturday. You have another Saturday, and this one is a total.
Yep, we're going over 2.5 in Brentford Everton, and might look a little weird. Everton has 2 goals so far in 5 games. But they've played better than that. They've actually outshot their opponents by 8. They have over 7 expected goals. So this is, again, waiting for these underlying numbers to come around. I think Everton's a little bit better attacking than they it looks so far, just looking at the standings. Brentford's been solid, 14 goals in three games, total number of goals in their games, and actually more than that if you look at the expected goals, the underlying numbers. So I think we're going to see goals here one way or the other, over 2.5 goals at minus 110.
You frequent a spot. And then a game on Sunday. And then one on Sunday. What do you got Sunday?
Chelsea and Aston Villa. So this is it in. Villa's in 7th place with 9 points. Chelsea's in 14th with 5 points. Obviously, Chelsea has more, you know, recent history, a little more prestige than that big six, whatever. But really, Chelsea's underlying numbers this year actually look better than expected, or better than I expected going in. They're 5th in shot difference, the 3rd in expected goal difference. Pretty unlucky to lose to Forest. West Ham, they dropped points against Bournemouth. Could have won all those games just based on the chances that they had. They've had more shots in all their games except against Liverpool, which is going to happen to just about everybody this year. Their attack's looking decent. Raheem Sterling's having a revival. Nicholas Jackson's been good coming in. Enzo Fernandez good in the midfield. So I kind of like this Chelsea team so far. I like them at home against Aston Villa. Villa also has to play in Poland today.
Ooh.
In UEFA Conference League. So, you know, and there's a 3-day turnaround, and Villa hasn't played in Europe for a while. So I think that could be a factor. So I like Chelsea home win minus 110.
Paul, how's your Premier League season going thus far?
Let's see. 9 picks on your show, 4 and 5, down about 3/4 of a unit so far.
4 and 5. All right. Time to bounce back again. Crystal Palace on Saturday versus Fulham is a play. Brentford, Everton over 2.5 goals on Saturday. And then on Sunday, Chelsea outright over Aston Villa. You also sent me this this screenshot of a Sports Illustrated that you bought. This is Mark Clayton scoring over Daryl Green. So this is opening day at RFK. It's either 83 or 84. No, it's 84. Opening day 84, because I remember I was there. Super Bowl hangover. Skins had just lost the Super Bowl after winning 36-6 under Joe Gibbs. They lose against the LA Raiders, and then the next year they come back and they're just absolutely flat day one, and your Dolphins take them down at RFK. Very nice.
Yeah, that was Marino's first full season as a starter.
Yes.
So he came out through 5 touchdowns that game, went on to win MVP. I think Clayton had 18 touchdowns that year. That was a heck of a year.
And the only other
point, I don't really remember.
Yeah.
Oh, I was 4 years old.
I remember it very well. I was old enough to be there. Air Raid was the name of the was the headline. You say they won't put that headline out today?
And the subheadline is Miami bombs Washington.
Oh, yeah. No, they won't do that.
I don't think those probably wouldn't fly today.
Yeah, they really would. Paul, appreciate it as always, man. Thank you.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
Paul Carr, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on Twitter, or as the kids call it today, X. You have a date, despite your yacht rock botching and your frequent thing. You have a date for the Matt Brown field goal.
I do. I was like, who am I going on a date with? That's what I was first thought you were going with. I didn't know I had a date planned, but I do have a date planned for the Matt Brown field goal. October 4th. I've got a field found. Ooh. Friday, October 4th. Two Fridays or more.
Field found.
Field is locked in. I have the great Dakota Kivish Martin, who will be handling his entire production crew.
Do you want to say the field or do you not want to say the field?
I don't want to say the field. Okay. I don't know how secure or insecure it will be, or, you know, whatever.
Insecure.
We need a bunch of people rushing
insecure.
The field.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Unsecure.
Well, I'm going to frequent it.
You're going to frequent
it. Yeah, I am.
I'm going tailgating. I'm going to bring out a cooler. I'm going to get a nice chair, watch him miss some field goals. We'll get the bets rolling in. And if he wants me to get a spray tan, that's on him. He's got to set that up. I set up the whole field goal thing. I got a production team. He's going to be mic'd up. We're going to be mic'd up. We got cameras.
Why are you getting mad at me? No, I'm on your side. Yeah. He completely Jedi mind tricked the whole spray tan thing.
Yeah, that's what he did.
2 years we've been waiting. He's like, I'll do it if you get a spray tan.
October 6th? Did I screw up the date? Is that what Rob's telling
me? No, you're right. October? Well, 4th is a Friday. Is it on Friday?
Oh, I thought it was Friday. Uh-oh, might have confusion with the production team right now.
You can't do it on a Sunday.
Oh, man.
We're getting stuff in our ear that Kelly already botched the date. Oh, great. Yeah, no, the 4th is a Friday.
Yeah, the 4th was what I was thinking.
Kelly scheduled it for a football Sunday. Is the 6th a Friday? Oh, he might be right. The 6th is a Friday. Okay. All right. We botched it, apparently.
Yeah,
anyway, we'll get it right, and we'll have the video, and it will actually happen.
Yeah.
We've done
all. I think we figured it out. I think I just screwed up the date.
We've done all we can do. Best bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.